This Do Lectures episode features a parent who set up a charity campaign for Luca, helping raise £1.5 million for prosthetic limbs for his son, Mo Side. Recorded live at the Global Event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2014.
I'm actually standing in for someone else today, which is my son. But when I asked Luca if he wanted to come and present today, he said, "Don't be silly, Dad, I'm too busy playing football." So when I tell you his story, you'll realise why that was such an important statement for what happened to Luca a couple of years ago. So this is my son, this is my happy place. This is where I went to when I closed my eyes earlier. And there's other parts of his life that I would also consider to be my happy place as he got through something which is pretty terrible. On January the 7th in 2012, Luca was struck down with meningococcal septicemia. And within 4 hours, he was in a coma in A&E, about to pass away with a 3% chance of survival. He was that bad that we couldn't get fluid into any of his veins. We had to drill into his bones to provide fluid to keep him alive. And the doctors at that time told us that he would never make it to intensive care and to say our goodbyes. He made it to intensive care. We were told he wouldn't make it through the night. And then the toughest 2.5 weeks of my life started. But I always find that pretty difficult to say when that Luca actually went through the toughest part and we were just witnessing it. In that period, Luca, we shut down everything in his body and put him in a coma. We put him on dialysis. We gave him 4 blood transfusions. We ran his heart at 220 beats per minute, 24 hours a day for 1 week solid. So he was running a marathon in the desert, 24 hours a day for a week, and still survived. During that period, we fed him full of blood liquids that would just seep out of every vein and part of his body into his lungs that we had to continually drain. To give you an example about how Luca looked at that time, if he was my size, he was carrying 55 litres of fluid that wasn't supposed to be in his body. So he didn't look normal at all. At that point, we had to take photos in for the nurses as a goal of what we were aiming for in terms of how we were going to make him better. He was on 21 drugs at that time. He was on 24-hour care with 2 nurses, 1 registrar and a consultant with him at all times, and me and his mother. 4.5 weeks later, Luca was probably at his worst stage. This is a picture that we haven't shown before, and when I came last night, the first thing I did is went over and say a quick hello to David and asked him how the day had gone, and he said everyone's been really open and sort of really honest about their campaigns or their products or about what they do, and we've never even shown this picture in public before. It was taken on an old-fashioned camera with film, and then we had to sort of scan the image to show you. At this point in Luca's illness, he was a drug addict. He had dead tissue all over his body. His legs had mummified below the knee. And he was in a really bad way. And this was the day before we took him in for his first operation. We took this photo. On either side, you won't see this photo, but there was firemen on either side that came to visit him before his big operation, which was very touch and go. And they presented him with an honorary helmet and his own number that he can go visit the fire station whenever he wanted, because he was a huge Fireman Sam fan. And on this day, I had to have a conversation with my 3-year-old son about, we were going to do something very drastic to his body. We were going to take away his legs because they weren't actually alive anymore, and we called them his poorly legs, and that we were going to make him better. We explained to him that it would be okay because he would get clip-on legs. So it would be fine. Don't worry about it. You'd just be able to clip your legs on and off. The one thing he said is, "Can I have blue ones, please, Dad?" That sort of went on to spur something, not at that moment in time, but we sort of realized that he saw things a lot differently than the way we did. We saw it as really tragic. Luca just saw it as an adventure where he could choose the color of his legs and choose whatever he wanted to do. Within 3 months, a lot had changed. So Luca had lost both of his legs below the knee and a huge amount of skin and tissue. So if you don't know what meningococcal septicemia does, its one sole aim is to maim and kill. So it takes away your tissue, your skin, it'll kill your bones, it'll kill your organs, it can destroy your mind, your eyesight, your hearing. So Luca was the very worst case that the hospital in Cardiff had ever seen and survived. He made it through. He wasn't smiling on this photo, but he did smile on a lot of them. And to give you an example of, we thought the first 2.5 weeks were hard. At this portion in time, Luca was covered in donor skin. He didn't have any skin on his legs, below his hips, for parts of his arms and all over his backside. So at that point, we had to staple other people's skin onto his body and compress it on with tons and tons of bandages to make sure that he didn't get infected at that time. It did feel like a living nightmare, and we had to sort of step up to the plate to make sure that we were honoring what we would do as parents, to make sure that he had the best care possible. Some of that was grafting. So this is what Luca's skin grafting actually looks like. And we show this photo because it is pretty graphic. And when people actually see Luca in the flesh, they realize the sort of the trauma that he went through. To us, this is a really great success story of what Luca actually came out with, was really good grafted skin, coverage, and no infection. So if you saw the photo beforehand of Luca as he was there, this is what it looked like underneath those bandages as it started to heal and seal, is what we talked about. We fought very, very hard to make sure that the surgeons didn't do this in one operation. So you can see on Luca's sort of skin, it looks like someone's almost stamped it like a bit of rabbit when you want to sort of flatten it out and put some cheese and bacon on it. And it sort of has little grooves in it. What we would do is take the skin off Luca's stomach and off his back. We'd put it through a machine and turn it into what was like a fence and then stretch it a little bit further. The further you stretch it, the weaker it becomes. So we had to send him through 3 to 4 operations versus one because we want him to be as tough as possible. We also had to face that he was disabled. So there's one part that I really found quite difficult when he was in hospital, and we'd moved him to a burns unit in Swansea. And Luca had to learn to get around on his bum. And I found it really, really awkward to deal with the fact that he would be sat on the floor moving around on his bum, and it just didn't feel natural. And that was me getting to terms with the fact that my son was disabled. What we didn't realize is that he was actually going to change our perception of what disabled really means. So he gave us a lot of milestones and proved to us that actually being disabled isn't something to worry about at all. He smiled an awful lot. This is a picture of Luca when he pulled this feed tube out of his nose, and he was really excited because he was going to go back to see the nurses in hospital. So we're glad that he didn't continue that on. And this is a picture of him when he found out he was being discharged, distraught that he wasn't going to get waited on hand and foot. But he made it home, and the biggest milestone of all. And what he did is when he came home is he made us realize that the homecoming was better than we could ever imagine. So he was back to his normal self. He had a cool new wheelchair with wheels imported from the States that were specially made for him, and they were blue to match his blue legs that he was going to get. He helped us do some building work, and he met some great mentors, and I'll come on to talk to you about Nathan Stevens a little bit later on. And he spent a lot of time with his mum. While all this was going on, we started a campaign called For Luca. And I think the last time David would have seen me, we said this is not just a random picture of a bit of cardboard or a cardboard box that's just got For Luca written on. While Luca was ill in hospital, an anonymous guy came in and gave a box to the cleaner and said, "I believe that Luca's in hospital here. Can you just give him this box?" And he'd given him an iPad to play with while he was in hospital. And on the box was a simple words for Luca. And we actually use that as his logo to this day. So we scanned the logo, and that is what you'll see on any of his correspondence or his branding or wristbands or anything like that as well. It was a very simple campaign. It was just asking people to get a marker pen, write For Luca, raise their hand in support, and show the support of someone that had fought through something so tough but had kept smiling. Initially, we thought, yeah, we might get some success and it'll help us build a fundraising platform. It did sort of span out a little bit further than that. I mentioned Nathan Stevens earlier. He's become one of Luca's mentors. He's a double amputee from Wales as well, lost both his legs in a train accident. And Steve Thomas, just there, lost both his legs when he was 17 to meningococcal septicemia. He was captain of the Welsh rugby team at the time. Had gone into hospital on a Saturday night, woke up a month later without any legs. When I saw him, he walked in at 6'2", looked like he was going to play rugby for Wales, sat down on the floor, rolled his jeans up, clipped his legs off, put them by the side, and sat next to my son. The next thing he said to him is, "Should we go and have a bum race?" And they sped off around the kitchen at full pelt with Luca trying to catch him up, with Steve showing him how fast he could possibly be getting around. Both really humble, inspiring people that showed us that disability didn't need to be something to be worried about. It did span out in terms of we had the Grand Slam rugby team that supported us at that time. We had sort of rugby teams around the world. We had local contacts. And we started to get to the stage of where we were thinking, who can we ask to write For Luca on their hands? And where does the rules lie of who we can and can't ask? Gareth Bale, one of the most famous footballers in the world. We just thought, well, why not? Why can't we break those boundaries down and find out who knows these people? And through 6 degrees of separation, everyone knew someone that knew someone that knew someone famous. And we started to get a bit of traction. And we had people climb mountains for Luca and raise their hands, skydive, dive, stand in front of the statues at Rio. And we had a bunch of crazy idiots dress up as giant hands. That's me there. And then run the Cardiff Half Marathon in these suits as well. It's like running in an oven mitt. And we also had people around the world that had raised their hand for Luca as well, from Formula One stars to rock stars and to some guy that got arrested in the White House by taking his phone in to do a For Luca shot in front of Obama. And I used this photo because I'm not a huge football fan. I'm from Wales, so rugby would be my core sport. And a friend of mine sent me a text while I was driving saying, we've got Maradona. And as I was reading the text, I thought, great, we've got Madonna. That's brilliant. I was a little bit disappointed that it was actually Maradona until I read his Wikipedia page and realised how much of a legend he really was. And he posted a video as well in support of my son. And it feels very unusual that I talked to David yesterday about the plans for doing what he's done here today. He just said almost the plans were so grand, they didn't know where to start. And we had that view. It's like our plans are just so grand of what we wanted to do for Luca. Would it really happen? And we just thought, well, why not? If we don't try, we'll never know. And people all over the world literally raised their hand for Luca, and thousands stood in support. And really, it was all driven by one thing. It wasn't me, it wasn't his mum, it wasn't the famous people that raised their hands. It was driven by 1 3-year-old boy that just wouldn't let disability beat him down. And he has this lust for life. So we posted this one photo of him climbing the stairs. And once he'd done it once, he refused to go up the stairs on his bum if his legs were intact. And he'd climb up every night. Really difficult for a double amputee as well to climb stairs. If you ever want a picture of bravery, this is Luca manning up to put his liners on his legs because they hurt when we have to roll the silicone onto his legs over the bones on the end of his limbs. And he mans himself up and psychs up ready to roll those liners on. And he has this amazing lust for life. And he also likes using his legs as Christmas decorations. So we talk about what does the future hold for Luca. Well, lots of different things in terms of there's lots of equipment, and prosthetics will probably be the one thing that we think is going to be really important to him. And it's not about prosthetics that look like normal limbs. Luca's limbs don't look normal as they are because he's grafted and scarred over most of his body. But he can also have cool limbs. He can have bright green ones. He can have limbs that are made out of chrome. And these are actually made by a guy in America called Scott Summit. And he 3D prints these. And then he can custom make them to match someone's motorbike. Or if someone wants a tattoo to match the tattoo on their other leg, he can tattoo it onto leather for them. And these are just almost what they would class as fairings, like you would clip onto a motorbike that clip onto the actual limb. And they look beautiful. And it actually makes people envious. So when you look at these limbs, you think, my God, that looks stunning. Why can't people be envious of some of the prosthetics rather than look so ugly? Also, sport. And this lady I'll come back onto a little bit later on, and she's an amazing woman. Also some sport. This is Steve Thomas, again, teaching Luca how he can play ice hockey. In terms of with or without limbs, there's nothing stopping him from doing anything. And he got back on his scooter. And one of the things around this picture is that when Luca came out of hospital, I hid these two items in this picture. It was his bike and his scooter, and I hid them away in the garage. I hid all his trainers. And I was almost embarrassed to realize that it was completely the wrong thing to do, because it was a goal for him to get back on his scooter and go to the park with his brother and scoot around on his limbs. We talked about the snowboarder earlier. It's a lady called Amy Purdy. She lost both her limbs, both her kidneys, her spleen, and the hearing in her left ear to meningococcal septicemia. One of the most inspiring women you'll ever see. If you've been watching Dancing with the Stars in America, you would have seen that she's been one of the only double amputees that has kept up with everyone and came second place. She's also a bronze medalist in snowboarding and boards better than anyone I've ever seen with limbs. An amazing woman, and has really pushed the boundaries of what you can possibly do on prosthetic legs, but has a vast array of legs. And more legs. So there's a couple of really inspiring people on this photo. So you've got Amy Mullins, who's an ex-Paralympian sprinter, and probably the guy that would have inspired me most since day one is a guy called Hugh Herr from the States. He developed the first bionic foot. So I'm being told not to walk in front of the screen, but I'm going to do it once, because as I walk back and forward across the screen, my muscles, calves, and Achilles tendons will push me across the screen. As an amputee, that wouldn't happen. I'd be swinging my legs from my hips. I'd be wearing my hip joints out to get across the stage without the ability to use Achilles or calf muscles. He's replicated that in a bionic foot. So he's a double amputee from a climbing incident and is famously known for saying he climbs better as an amputee than he did before because his legs can be longer so he can climb mountains and rock faces that no one else could climb. And there's also even more technology that we plan to tap into in Luca's life. This is a guy called Zach Vorta, and he stood at the top of a skyscraper in Chicago, 108 floors up. So it's not just the image that's pretty breathtaking. The breathtaking part is that he climbed those 108 flights of stairs to get to that floor in that building by thinking to move his leg. So this leg is connected to his nerves here. He can think that I need to lift my leg, and his prosthetic leg will lift up. That's a really bad demonstration, but he can do that. And that's the technology that is moving forward. Possibly not things that Luca might have, but it's going to move in the right direction for us. And the BioM that we talked about is the bionic foot has now been licensed in Europe. We've actually seen it, I've held it, and I've spoke to the contacts that run for Europe. And the plan is to get Luca to be the youngest double amputee to wear BioMs, possibly when he's 16 or 18. So we have a long plan to push forward to make sure that he can get there. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or, if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out. For our weekly curation of wonder and optimism, sign up to our newsletter by visiting thedolectures.com/newsletter.